Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fantastic episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by the one and only EEJournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, and where in the world does Fish Fry have in store for you this week? Well, in honor of this week's title, we're talking about baseball. Yep, nothing but baseball, you know, because of that Field of Dreams reference in the title. Absolutely not, because I think baseball is probably the world's most boring sport. What we're talking about today is your smart home and how we can build it with the newest voice-controlled smart home technologies from Conexant. Sit back and imagine, if you will, a time when you could speak commands to the very walls around you. And those things actually happen. I know, it sounds a bit like a Ray Bradbury novel you read in high school, or perhaps an episode of The Jetsons. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're not quite to the shape-shifting world of Bradbury just yet, but smart home voice control is definitely coming to fruition. My guest this week is Salil Aswade from Conexant, and we're talking about the voice control smart home revolution. We'll explore the challenges of creating a voice-controlled smart home, speculate about where voice control software is headed in the future, and find out what it's like to golf at Pebble Beach. Check it out. Hi, Salil. Thank you so much for joining me today. So interacting with devices in a smart home using voice is a growing trend these days. But to realize the full capabilities of the voice-controlled smart home, all of the everyday background noise that occurs needs to be eliminated so the smart device can understand my or the user's voice. So, Salil, what are some of the technical challenges involved in creating such a solution?
So, Amelia, thank you for having us on here today. And I fully agree with your comment that voice control is becoming an important user interface in the smart home. And the advantages are where you can control different appliances, and I'll just walk you through an example. Let's say you have a smart TV, and I walk into a room and say, wake up, or hi, Samsung TV, the TV wakes up. Then I go further and say, please, let's have a Skype call, or I go and say, I want to watch a Tom Cruise movie. So I can enable this technology using my voice, and it understands it. And where Conexant really has brought this to reality, and you might have seen that with some of the newer applications, smart TVs being one of them, where there is microphones in the TV, so they're always listening if you want them to always listen, and you can enable them to do different functions using your voice. The other application of interest is something like, you might be familiar with the Nest-like device, a smart thermostat. And, you know, they're always accessible. You can access them through your cell phones if you want. But your cell phone is really, you want to use it to make calls. If you're on a call and you want to turn the temperature on, you can just say, hey, I want it to be 72 degrees. And the thermostat is right away able to react to that and say, okay, I'm going to change the temperature or turn the air conditioner on. So these are not things in the future that I'm talking about. These are things that Conexant is enabling right now in the smart home. So we've got a few applications that we can talk about that we've done press releases with. Of course, TVs, as I mentioned, with Samsung and LG. If you have a set-top box at home from a Comcast or what have you, you know how difficult it is to go and find a show. You got to hit an alphabet at a time with your remote. Wouldn't it be great if you just talk to it and say, I wanted to watch a Julia Roberts movie, and it shows up? And that's really what we are enabling on that kind of application. Some of the other interesting things that have happened is a vacuum cleaner, a Roomba-like one, which we worked with the customer in Asia to design, where it's vacuuming and you tell it to stop or start, or to change from hardwood floors or carpeting. Again, you can see very easy user interface for using voice in these kind of technologies. One of the latest one that's of a lot of interest to all of us, and there's a lot of buzz around and you might be familiar with, is the Amazon Echo, which is a smart digital assistant, including a smart speaker. Again, you talk to it, you say, hello, Alexa, this is Amazon Echo's key phrase to wake up. And then you say, play the music, play Pandora, tell me what the temperature is today, what is my schedule like. So it's almost, you put it in your living room, and then you're able to communicate with it. And I'll tell you, we've got 6 or 7 companies that we are working on in different languages, English, Mandarin, German, where they want to enable this technology in the voice area. So I told you what the use cases are. I think you can understand where this goes with that. But I'll tell you, there are lots of challenges in this. We have dogs barking, we've got cars driving by, we've got babies crying. So what our technology really does is make sure all of that noise in this case is suppressed, and the device, could be an air conditioner, could be a TV, could be a refrigerator that you're talking to, understands in an intelligible manner what it says. So that is really a very difficult job, because it's got to be able to work in any room condition. You might have big windows, which has got a lot of reflection of voice on it. It could be a big room, small room. So our technology really enables the system to understand intelligibly what we're doing. Now, we partner with companies like Nuance in the U.S. You might be knowing them. They've got Dragon, which is their voice recognition software. And then in China, with the multiple companies like iFlytek and Unisound, who are the well-known Mandarin speech recognition companies, which they have said our technology enables their technology to work better. Because for speech recognition to work better, and you use it on cell phones already with Siri or Google Voice, it needs to understand what you're saying. And with all this noise, it will not understand it. So our technology really eliminates all the background noise to make true voice control a reality. And Conexant not only provides silicon solutions, because we are a silicon company, but we also provide software solutions. And our software solutions come in 3 different kind of flavors. We've got the Windows software solution for a PC ecosystem. We've got an Android software solution for the Android ecosystem, and we've got Linux software solution for the Linux system. So that kind of gives you an idea where we think voice is a very critical and important user interface.
So what other kinds of applications beyond the smart home can utilize this type of technology?
Beyond smartphones, in the home, as you can see, I've gone through many, many different kind of applications that you won't even think about, right, to communicate to devices. So voice as an interface is becoming extremely important. On the headset that I'm using right now, we want to enable that without having to click a button. I speak to it, it turns on. So that's where voice as an interface is. I'm on a call right now, so it turns on by itself. PCs. You said no tablets, but I'll talk about PCs, because people are thinking PC as a form factor is dead, but with the new Windows 8 and Windows 10 form, new OS is coming, that form factor is becoming very important as a productivity tool. So most PCs now use something called Link or Skype to communicate at the workplace. You are probably doing that at your work. A lot of us now are mobile workers. And us being mobile workers, I could be at a Starbucks today and want to get on a conference call. I want to be able to suppress everybody around me. And maybe I'm using a headset, maybe I'm not using a headset. But our technology will, what I call, is suppress the rest of Starbucks, while the folks on the other side will be able to intelligibly understand what you're saying. So that's one area where an application that works. I'll take it further along, where we also have the same technology, but in a different form that we've implemented it is, and you've done this, we're all on a call and you can hear one person's typing away loudly, and you can hear the key clicks. So the same technology that we have brought in this market, which is called blind source separation, we've also enabled it to suppress the key clicks. So just think about that, right? So you know the person who's not talking is typing, right? But in this case, all the key clicks are suppressed. So that's something that we've done with our technology. And I'll spend a couple of minutes on our technology, if that's okay. It's something called blind source separation, which is the physics behind this technology, which is very different from beamforming. Beamforming is, as it says, it's a beam. You got to be in that beam. With blind source separation, you can be all around it. 360 degrees, it suppresses all the noise, but captures me as the dominant noise. And for noise suppression, it's really important to have that, and for it to be user-friendly. Because let's say I have, using an example with my TV, you know, I talk to it and I'm standing not right in front of it, but in the kitchen. It needs to know to turn on or turn off. If I use beamforming technology, it wouldn't know that, because I'm not in that beam that the microphone's looking at. So our technology really allows you to do that. And then the third thing our technology does really well is what we call our far-field 5-meter technology. So you can be 5 meters away from the device, in this case a TV, a thermostat, or air conditioner, and it'll still understand you, which is the only technology in the world that's allowing you to do that from 5 meters. So it's really true far-field. as opposed to on a smartphone where, you know, there is noise cancellation happening in a smartphone, but the phone has microphones that are right near your face. In addition to noise suppression, we also do echo cancellation, so which really enables the user to, again, control devices that have the echo in it, like a TV where we can have that echo coming there and we can suppress it. And same thing with set-top boxes. And why is that important? You know, the TV could be very loud, and I don't speak so loudly. It needs to be able to understand me over the loudness of the TV. So both the noise suppression and echo cancellation put together with a technology that was based on blind source separation is what we call our Audio Smart suite of silicon and software solutions.
All right, Salil, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you enjoy golfing. Where is the best place in the whole world that you have gone golfing?
You know what? Pebble Beach. I'm being from California. I've had an opportunity to play once at Pebble Beach, and I believe the day was wonderful. Nice sunshine, beautiful weather, great day. So I think Pebble Beach, for me, was the best place that I've ever golfed at. And how about you, Amelia? Where have you golfed at?
My favorite place to golf has got to be in Troutdale, Oregon, a place called Edgefield. It's a simple par three. They serve alcoholic beverages. There's a larger resort on site. But the view from that golf course is absolutely stunning. I would recommend it highly to anyone who is visiting the Portland, Oregon area.
I'll do that. I've never played up in the Northwest, as a matter of fact.
Well, you should definitely check it out sometime. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Salil. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Pleasure, Amelia. Thank you very much for spending time with Conexant.
Hey, also, if you want a little further information about Conexant, I encourage you to check out my fellow EE Journal editor, Jim Turley's article entitled, "Little Conexant Makes a Big Noise. Telecom Company Turns Its Attention to Games, Cars, and Tablets." You can find a direct link to that article below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. I've got three words for you. USB type C. Are you scared? Excited? A little of both? Well, you should be, because the USB type C train is a-comin', and you'd better hop on fast. But what about FPGAs and USB type C? What? Oh, yes, it's true. And you can find out all about how the power of FPGAs can help you harness the wonder of USB Type-C by checking out our most recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled USB Type-C Solutions, sponsored by Lattice Semiconductor. In this episode of Chalk Talk, I sit down with Gordon Hands of Lattice, and we chat all about a great new flexible solution for USB Type-C. Spoiler alert, your job may be easier than you think. You can check out this episode by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, by heading on over to the front page of eejournal.com. It's in the player on the right-hand side, below the fold, or by heading on over to YouTube, keyword eejournal. And hey, while you're there, you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. That way, each and every new episode of Chalk Talk will be automatically delivered right to your inbox. How cool is that? Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, well, yes, you can join our circle on Google Plus as well. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of March 13th, 2015, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.